Our first passage is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 7, which can be found on page 573 of the church Bibles. So Isaiah chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The second passage is Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 to 20, which is on page 109. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him.
Hey, thanks, guys, and hello, my name's Kev. If I met you, I'm the senior minister here at Euston Church. Great that we're able to be together as we start to get into our Christmas celebrations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. As Dan mentioned, this is our first carol service Sunday, and it's felt ages coming to me, to be honest, because in our family, we put our Christmas tree up on the 14th of November. This year, I know, entirely too early. I want to say it was the kids demanding me to get the decorations out for weeks. It was all me. Our 8-year-old had some stern words for me. "Daddy, you're ridiculous." But it's a really good tree, you know. Our living room looks a bit naked the rest of the year without it. And I particularly love the lights, you know, the lights of Christmas. The Oxford Street lights, I don't know if you've been down to see them yet. They've received their usual mixed reception online. New for 2025, we've got a tree out here in Bing Place. Did you pass it on your way in? It's cut in half so you can stand inside it. It's one of those immersive experience things. And it's provided by Camden Council. So if you live locally like me and want to know what your council tax got spent on this year, da-da, that's it. Personally, I try to spend a bit of time each day hanging around the tree so that I get my taxpayers' value for money. There is me. Sorry, that's my concentrating face. I've never quite mastered the selfie. Nice lights, though, aren't they? And, you know, it's no accident that Christmas falls in December, the darkest month of the year. It's as if we're trying to crowd out the darkness of winter with huge sprinklings of dazzle. And what other kinds of darkness in our lives and world are we trying to crowd out, I wonder? This is not a carol service. I thought we'd make it a little bit more reflective. I'm going to give us three spots throughout the talk where we just pause for a minute of quiet and it'll give us a question to reflect on from the themes that we're discussing. That first reading was a dose of reality, did you notice? Gloom, anguish, darkness, deep darkness. Not exactly Michael Bublé, is it? Well, today and the next two Sundays, we'll go on a journey through this poetic and ancient prophecy. We'll glimpse a better future prospect, and we'll hear that hope is embodied in a baby. Isaiah 9 feels different in style from the more familiar gospel accounts of how Jesus was born, written 700 years before his birth, which means about 3,000 years ago from now. The place names mean virtually nothing to us. And yet, these first couple of sentences resonate. Gloom has the sense of a dark fogginess. Anguish, sometimes translated distress. Darkness means darkness as dark as death. One of the things I love about the Bible is when it feels like God in his word really gets me. When the words on the page anticipate and articulate my questions and confusions. It's quite a powerful thing to show friends if you're trying to get them into the Bible. I find it so persuasive when scripture describes emotions and experiences that come straight from life as we know it. God gets you. He gets our world. Isaiah wrote about light and darkness at a moment when everything had gone wrong for God's Old Testament people. On one level, that was because of this guy in the picture, Tiglath-Pileser III. Could pass for Father Christmas with that beard, couldn't he? He was no Santa, though. His Assyrians pummeled the places mentioned in verse 1, made them like the battered towns of eastern Ukraine, or those devastating pictures we've seen this year in Gaza City. But the darkness ran deeper. Such a powerful metaphor, darkness, you know, the way everything feels so much worse in the middle of a dark night. Dark nights of the soul, we call them. We talk about our personal darkness. And then there's being in the dark, not knowing. The dark side. I'm not talking about Star Wars. Do you have a dark side? Well, here's the first moment to pause and just think for a moment on your own. Think about ways you feel conscious of the darkness. It may be big picture things about the world, but it may be right inside your head or darkness in your soul. How do you particularly feel the darkness right now? There, darkness back then was all of that and more. This reading is part of the unfolding drama of history that began when a good creator God spoke light in the darkness, and yet again and again, people chose to hide away from him. Now, we're more enlightened now, God. You stay in your lane, God. We've got this covered. Didn't work out so well in Isaiah's day, or ours. The darkness of death, like a shadow over them and us. Humanity disconnected under the shadow of God's just judgment. Happy Christmas. Hey, this is a Christmas reading. It's a promise that one day everything would change, that one day you'd be able to say verse 2 had happened, that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You ever been in a power cut at night, maybe in a cottage? And it drags on, you know, survival by phone torch. And then suddenly, all at the same time, the lights go on. It's amazing. Light is good. Light lights the way. You know, I've lived here in Zone 1 for decades now, and I do see the value of us having some countryside out there somewhere. But I hate driving along country lanes in pitch black. No street lamps, no form of light pollution of any kind. It's terrible. I genuinely start to convince myself that monsters are going to appear in the road, and the kids have some stern words for me in those moments. Daddy, you're ridiculous. They say that to me quite a lot, actually, in my life. Anyway, light is hope. light at the end of the tunnel. But what tangibly is the light Isaiah is poetically predicting? He puts flesh on this idea literally in verse 6. See, the light he was predicting was not an idea or a philosophy. Light is a person. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The incarnation, we call it. Carne, chili con carne, means chili in meat, in flesh. Incarnation means in flesh. Meant light in the flesh, in a body. And Jesus is the child prophesied because 700 years after Isaiah said it, gospel writer Matthew records his birth. And then straight away, as grown up Jesus walks through these precise towns that were mentioned by Isaiah, Matthew grabs the Isaiah quote, directly, explicitly quotes it, and says, "This is the guy." Verse 13 of Matthew 4, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Remember, these place names represent atrocities. They're names that trigger, like Chernobyl or Hiroshima for us. God forsaken. Enemy ravaged. They remained in a doom loop for hundreds of years after Isaiah spoke. Suddenly Jesus. There was a man who was walking down the street one day when he fell into a hole. The walls were so steep that he couldn't get out, so he began to cry up for help. A doctor walked by, and hearing the man's cries, the doctor wrote a prescription, tossed it into the hole, and walked away. Before long, a priest walked by, heard the man calling out, "Father, can you help me?" The priest wrote a prayer on a piece of paper, threw it in the hole, and walked away. Finally, a friend came by. The man asked the friend for help. Friend jumped straight in the hole. The man who was trapped was horrified. "Now we're both stuck down here." Friend says, "Yeah, but I know the way out." Jesus didn't see us in the dark, write a prescription and throw it down. He didn't pray a prayer and walk away. He jumped in the hole. Verse 15 of Matthew 4. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Christmas says that God came good on that ancient promise. Christmas says that in Jesus' birth, the light has dawned. So, here's our next moment to think on your own. Just think about some of the specific ways you're grateful that light has dawned in the arrival of Christ. If a friend said to you, "Jesus coming means light has dawned," what does that actually mean for you? What might you say? Let's be quiet for a moment. I wonder what you were thinking of. There's a lot to say that's precious, isn't there? Light has dawned. And by the way, that's why light has always been such a feature of our Christmas celebrations. You know, in the olden days, they used to put actual, real lit candles on their indoor Christmas trees. Here's a picture of the old. I don't know if you can see the angles of some of those candles are very precarious. One sneeze by the kid and that whole place is toast, death by Christmas tree. You know, over the years at Euston Church, people from some of the proper Christmassy countries like Denmark, actually some of you know Sina. Sina was here with her whole Danish family this morning, and they were really proud that I said Denmark was one of the proper Christmassy countries. Anyway, since this morning they've sent me a picture of their tree, which is like that, with the real candles. They still do it. So there it is in the next picture, I think. There it is. That's them about to light the candles, and look who's sitting under the Christmas tree. Good luck with the dog insurance. But still, what does it mean in practice, this symbolism of Jesus as the light? We have to read on in Matthew to see exactly how Jesus shines, which he truly does. But it's interesting, you know, the first thing Jesus does after Matthew says he's light is verse 17, he begins to preach, teaching that illuminates. Matthew says the crowds had never heard anything like it. And then almost immediately he's teaching the famous Sermon on the Mount, still considered the foundational document for Western ethics, so radical on human dignity, social justice, non-violence. Rome was never the same. The world wasn't. Christians are far from perfect, but since light has dawned, Jesus' followers have been shining Christ-likeness like a city on a hill into families and communities and nations. You're the light of the world, Jesus says to his followers. That's pretty challenging. And then even more than illuminating us with the most beautiful way to live, Jesus' teaching speaks into all the questions and anxieties and darkness of our souls. We do all have a dark side, don't we? Keeping God in his lane hasn't gone very well. You know, a student out there on the street during Freshers' Week told me that the atheism he'd grown up with wasn't enough on these bigger questions. Others said similar. All the Christmas lights on the planet can't cover on up what's going on in here. Never mind the darknesses out there. Jesus wants to clear the fog and light the way back to rootedness and purpose, connection with our Creator. And Jesus being the light doesn't just mean he's all talk. Again, Matthew says just after he says he's the light in the darkness, verse 23, he went throughout all Galilee, yeah, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven, but also healing every disease and affliction. Light heals. Light gives life to plants as they bend towards it. Jesus is still walking through those devastated territories, now spreading healing everywhere he goes. Disease, pain, ended in those places that were the pits. Suddenly Galilee of the Gentiles, instead of making you think war zone, it's a little picture of heaven. Just a picture though. Because the darkness remains, let's keep that real. The shadow of death, sorry for the ways it will cast its painful shadow over the family Christmas for many of us here. And yet light and life to all he brings is not carol service cliche. It's true. Born, lived, died, rose to prove that the Christmas child is so much more than the great teacher or the great healer. The promise is that everything he did locally back then, he will one day do globally for all who lean into him and trust. Eternal life at the end of the tunnel. It's what Advent's all about. You know, I love Christmas, but I don't sleep well in December because every day of December, we have people coming into our bedroom at ridiculous o'clock to talk Advent calendars. It's our children, just in case you're worried who these people coming in are. But Advent isn't just waiting for Christmas. It says as we waited for centuries and then light came, just as surely he will come again to banish horrible death and its dark shadow forever. So there's the final think about. Think about the people that you know, maybe the people who you might invite to Christmas services who are still in the darkness. What's that like for them? What difference would it make for them to walk in the light? Well, think about those folk for a moment. Inviting to carol services, we talk about it every year. I guess some of us feel too busy for that, too wearied by that, discouraged by rejections, but you're not ruining anyone's day by inviting them into this stuff that we're talking about, are you? How good would it be for your guests to walk in the light? It would be a lot for them to suddenly believe this stuff, I get that. But are they going to deal with the darkness on their own? Challenge will be, why not bend towards the light this Christmas to listen to Jesus in here? And for those of us who do lean into the light of Christ, Well, to do that again at this Christmas and rejoice, enjoy the miracle of the incarnation, the relief of ancient promises of forgiveness fulfilled, the hope that the best is yet to come. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Let's pray.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you so much that in your grace you made this amazing promise years and years ago. We praise you for an end to gloom, an end to darkness, an end to death and sadness, and joy and peace to come in its place. Thanks so much for promising this to us. And we praise you so much that the light has dawned. We praise you that Jesus has come and that he gave us a picture of this kingdom, bringing so much good, and he's given us a guarantee of this kingdom that will last forever in the future. Please, Father, as his people this Christmas, would you help us appreciate all that we have in the Lord Jesus? Please, would the magnitude of these things, that he will take away every bit of darkness, that he will bring immense joy and peace to us forever. Please, would they be so precious to us? And Father, we praise you that we do have amazing good news to put on display at carol services. And we ask that you would help us do that. Please would carols and be most of all a celebration of Jesus and all his coming means. Please would festive trivialities not be the main thing. Please would Jesus be so wonderful to all who come along. We pray for our hearts, Father. Please give us genuine desire to see those we know come to know Jesus. Please give us boldness to invite people and speak to them about Jesus and the good news he's brought this Christmas time. Help us as a church family to welcome people who come along. Help us to show love, just as you are immensely loving. And please would you use these carols to save people for Jesus' eternal kingdom. And Father, we are so aware of the extent of gloom and darkness that marks our world still. And it's a tragedy every week to keep seeing news stories of lives lost and livelihoods ruined. I think particularly for those in Ukraine and Gaza suffering at the moment. Please would you help those in authority in those situations recognize that you are the Lord God and therefore do what is right. Help those doing injustice to turn away from it. Please would you provide those suffering with relief from distress, and we particularly pray that humanitarian efforts for food and shelter would be fruitful. Please provide for those who need those things. And most of all, Father, provide ways for these people suffering to hear the message of hope that only Jesus offers, eternal hope. Please help Christians in Ukraine and in Gaza to speak words of hope. Please use it to be saving people for Jesus' eternal kingdom there. Amen.